everybody, it's Michelle Fisher, and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. Today, I am very, very excited because we have Tim Wambach and Mike Berkson, and they are the stars of the stage show Handicap This. Handicap This is a show that explores the serious issues, punctuated by the comical ones, when one, in a pair of best buddies, has cerebral palsy and the other does not. It may sound simple enough, but as soon as a theatergoer gets drawn into the banter between Tim and Mike, it becomes clear. Friendship is about a meeting of the minds and not about what's on the surface. Their message is clear. Judgment is not allowed. Improvise, adapt, and overcome. From Chicago, Illinois, I welcome Tim Wambach and Mike Berkson. Hey, guys.
Hello. How's it going, Michelle? Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to talk with me.
Well, we're very excited. This is Tim.
Hi, Tim.
This is Mike.
Hey, y'all.
so people can understand our voices.
This is Mike.
Oh, this is Mike.
let's have this.
All right. Well,
we're just having fun. So.
Let's start the fun then, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, well, with that introduction said, I have to should I tell my viewers that I haven't seen the show?
You should.
Should I admit that? Well, I have to tell you that you guys. I'm kind of sheepish about it because this show is. I've seen it on YouTube and the various media outlets, and this show is remarkable.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. So let's talk a little bit about what made you want to turn your experiences and your friendship together into a stage show. And you know, you guys can answer either or.
Yeah, you know, I think the best way to describe it is back like in 2005, Mike and I started getting asked to do like little speaking engagements about our relationship. People heard about our relationship and they wanted to kind of know more. So Mike and I had a few of those under our belt and people just loved us. They loved the camaraderie between us. They loved the story. You know, Mike would make them laugh repeatedly.
He's hilarious.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll come up with something funny eyebrows.
So we just decided that we had something, you know, like we had a story to tell and people already were liking what they heard. And if we could turn it into a stage show, that we would have something that no one really has ever seen before.
Right.
And we are right because they'll come up to us and they go, "We've never seen anything like this before. Mine's always to be the voice for the disabled people, but my goal is also to keep everybody entertained." And that was our goal from the start, is to educate, empower, and entertain. So that's our ultimate goal.
Like Mike said, the goal was to educate and empower and entertain. But talk about the education and the empowerment part. Why is that important for the disability community and those who work and live with people with disabilities these days?
Right. Well, so, I mean, there's a lot of different things that kind of happen with our show. So I think first, the education piece, that's really for, let's just call it the able-bodied community, because we've heard so many times from people that have seen our show, they're like, "Oh, my God, I had no idea." Like, we've heard that so many times. So that's really like the first piece, is educating people that have no idea. So there's a lot of that needed. And then the empowerment is, and the empowerment comes in a couple different folds. One is, I think Mike's voice empowers the special needs community because he has a platform and he has a voice. And it's a voice that so often is unheard in day-to-day life. So here, let's say that there's a girl who has a disability that comes to see the show, and she sees Mike, and now there's somewhat of a role model that anything is possible. I think that really plays well to both sides of the fence, whether that's someone with a disability or someone that doesn't have a disability but really wants to do more with what they have.
And let's talk about your story a little bit, because I thought it was interesting. You became Mike's aide when you were 27 years old. And the thing that you mentioned was that you two started to form a bridge from one world to another. Did you realize in the beginning that this was happening?
That's a really good question. And I think, did you, because you would know that, you would know them more. Like, I noticed it, but I'll let you respond first, and then I'll take you guys all over.
I would say that I definitely did not notice it right away. I think it was as our relationship kind of matured, so to speak. I think that is when it kind of, I realized that here I was someone that could relate to Mike, and not in the sense that, I use a wheelchair or anything like that, but I could relate to Mike because I tried to understand him, and I didn't look at Mike as someone who, has cerebral palsy and uses a wheelchair. I looked at Mike as, a 12-year-old kid that, I was helping out. And through the years, I would say it was probably when we came back, Mike and I went to Washington, D.C. on Mike's 8th grade class trip.
Yes.
And I would say that's when I realized the bridge. And that's when I really understood the whole picture. Because prior to that, we always say, prior to the Washington, D.C. trip, I only knew Mike from, 8 to 3. I didn't know Mike before 8 in the morning, and I didn't know Mike after 3 p.m.
And a lot happened with between 3 in the afternoon until 8 in the morning. Most of the interesting things happened between the time that I wasn't in school, because that's when all the quote unquote care and logistics really come.
Right, because the thing was, when we went to D.C., Mike's parents didn't come. It was just me and Mike, and then obviously all his other classmates. So I had to be Mike's parents. I helped him into bed. I, put on his AFOs. I brushed his teeth. I gave him his medication, and all that stuff that I was really not privy to before.
That medication thing alone took a lot of time.
Well, yeah, because Mike, takes a lot of different medications, so there were, different times throughout the day, different medications and things like that. So it was a full-time job, and it was something that I didn't know about all of that stuff. And here I was, I worked with Mike for a year and a half, and I didn't know any of that stuff. So
yeah,
that was definitely an eye-opener.
Yeah, and talk about that, Mike, because like he said, he wasn't privy to this before, but how did it make you feel when you realized, I guess, that Tim wasn't just an aide that helped you out, that he wanted to be part of your life, he wanted to be a friend to you?
That was always a really important thing to me, because anybody can just go through the motions, but it's really important to find someone really looks beyond whatever your situation is and really can connect with you on a deeper level. Because I think that's where the bridge came from, was he would step out of the role of just being the person who helped me with everything that I couldn't do. And he was really concerned and really thought about me as a person. And I think that people like that, individuals like that, that help those with disabilities, those are the type of people that you want around you. Yeah. And those are the type of people, even if you're not in my situation, you want people that you can relate to. You want people that can relate to you on multiple levels.
Tim, like he said, you want people to get you. Really, basically, is what Mike is saying. But how do you, through this show, how do you make people change their minds as far as disability and not to be afraid of how close they get to somebody who has a disability?
Right. I guess the first thing I would say is we don't change anything. We don't change any minds. We don't change anyone's perspectives. We just do our thing on stage and let other people make those observations for themselves. And I think really what happens is the audience sees Mike the person. Like, you know, initially they probably, you know, look at Mike as someone who uses a wheelchair, and I think part of it is everyone comes in and they have judgments. It's almost they have judgments and expectations of the show,
mm-hmm.
and they have judgments and expectations of Mike. And I think, and this is, you know, this hasn't been substantiated or anything like that, but I believe that most people go there and they think, okay, this is going to be like, you know, the Disney fairy tale ending, and it's going to be this feel good story. And is it necessarily like that? I mean,
well,
granted,
we didn't set out to make it a feel good story. In fact, I said, let's not make it. I mean, it is a inspirational story, but that doesn't mean it can't have real life edge to it, and that it can't have a personality.
I think at the end of the day, our show is honest. It's brutal honesty, and we don't hold any punches. I think that's what people respond to. So because we're so open and honest, and because people aren't knowing what to expect, I think it changes them in a sense that now it opens their eyes more, and they're able to see a little deeper into Mike's world. They're able to see a little deeper into their own world and really see how you know, maybe they've been limiting themselves because, you know, they have some old belief patterns or something like that.
Tim was talking about that the audience gets a little bit into your world, but was there any trepidation to being on such a public stage with your story and your struggles?
Absolutely not. Because people always go, how do you talk about that? Are you nervous when you had to do that? I go, no. I talk to people anyway in my entire life. So I'm just talking to more people. Like, that's all I can do, talk. So it's not, I don't even see it as like anything else that I wouldn't do in a normal day or like in a normal situation. So I had no trepidation. In fact, I was like, can we put more stuff in here? Because we're always trying to not change it, but we're always trying to make it better. We like to keep each other on our toes. I like to keep Tim on his toes, literally. And you like to keep me on my toes, metaphorically.
The show premiered in 2010. And you've been talking about tolerance and inclusion. Have you been surprised, either of you, at how well or what the reception has been?
I think, you know, from the moment that we've done the show till now, I would say the reactions are pretty much the same. And people, depending on who the audience is, kind of depends a little bit on kind of what happens. So it seems like when we do more like a public show, that seems to get the most positive reactions. Not that, you know, the show's always gotten positive reactions. But I think that college audiences tend to be our best audiences, and those shows are ones that are real eye-openers, and it's a great educational piece, wouldn't you say, Mike?
Well, yeah, because that doesn't feel, working for colleges, we don't have to worry about kind of, we can be more free, when we have to do it for high school, sometimes we have to tone it down or edit it over or take stuff out, and that's when you really have to, you kind of have to, just by the nature of what we do, you can't put everything on the table. So, yeah, so people get a positive reaction no matter what we do, because we're just telling our story. Like, that's the bottom line.
And I think, you know, I think when I started doing research on your show, I thought it was so interesting because a lot of Mike's, obviously I've had aides that have become my friends too, but a lot of his emotion, a lot of Mike's emotions were mine. And so it's so nice to be able to relate that to yourself, you know, that somebody else goes through this, that you're not the only one.
Well, I think that's another really strong piece is that a lot of people that have seen the show that are in a similar situation to Mike feel like now people understand. They feel like they've been heard. So it's like they feel that because Mike's sharing this, now people are going to understand me more because of what Mike is doing.
And do you think that because of the show, has there been a shift, do you think, in how tolerance and inclusion has been implemented?
Here, I'll give you a quick example through a story. Mike and I were in Owensboro, Kentucky in September of 2012. And we did a show. It was two shows in 2 days. And the first show was in front of about 1,000, I think it was like 7th grade through seniors in high school. So there's like 1,000 students that were a part of the show. And it was, you know, a huge theater, huge audience. So, and this story was related to us after later words. Prior to our show, there was these, I'm not sure if they were 8th graders or freshmen in high school, but they were bullying the special needs students that were sitting in front of them. They were, you know, calling them names and picking on them. And then our show started, they stopped. And then after the show was over, they went up to all the special needs students, apologized, and apologized to the teachers.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
So.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm getting goosebumps relating that story because it's such a real time situation. So that's a great example of the power of our show.
Do you ever think about if the show hadn't been thought of, where would we be now, or where would you be now, or where would Mike be now? Do you ever think about that, and what do you think about?
Yeah, that's another really good question. Mike, do you want to go first?
Yeah, you go.
Okay, I'll go first. I don't know where Mike and I would be. To be perfectly honest, I don't know where we would be. I know that we would be in each other's lives at some capacity. But just to give you an example that's kind of a off-beaten path. But I actually met my wife while I was with Mike.
Yes.
And I don't know if that would have necessarily happened if we didn't start the show.
That's a very good point. I didn't even think about that.
I was Mike and I went out to lunch.
So Mike is a matchmaker.
Well, he didn't do any of the work, but
the point was it was her 20 to be nice to me.
Yes, I think that's a good career for you, Mike, now.
Yeah, but I've really done it all myself. I can't do it for myself.
I
can do it for him.
If I could help you out there, I would.
I don't want to give Mike too much credit here. It was just that we were together and I wouldn't have been there.
Uh-huh.
Mike didn't have he wasn't making anything happen on the inside.
That's so funny. Well, you guys, I have to tell you that I'm so glad that you started the show, and I am so glad to know you now and call you my friends. I thank you so much for this, and I will, I promise. See the show.
You better. I mean, now it's on. It's out there in real time. But one thing I wanted to just really quickly share with your audience that Mike and I have created the Making Minds Handicapped Accessible, the digital classroom experience.
Yes.
So for seventh and eighth graders and high schoolers, their school can purchase the program and they can watch it in their classroom. They can watch it in assembly, and the schools get access to the show for its entire school year. And then
the high school, there's online curriculum, and then for the middle schools, there's pre- and post-discussion questions. So it's a really, it's an incredible tool for schools to really access the information and be able to expound our message.
Tim Wambach and Mike Berkson, you guys are the greatest. I thank you so much for being here. And you guys, to my viewers, you must see this show. I know that I haven't seen it yet, but I will be in that theater when they come to Indiana next time because this is a must-see show. We will have links and all sorts of things to handicap this on my Facebook page. I thank Tim and Mike again, and I thank my viewers today for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.